right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, the shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where are the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics, he can't fight?
Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm back.
Yes, from Buffalo.
Hey, it happens. Can't believe you didn't make it to Comic-Con. Hey, look.
First time in 8 years I can't go, and I trust you to go there.
That was your mistake. No one told you to trust me.
You're right. What a mistake that was to trust you.
Yeah, nice. I mean, I can't be trusted.
Well, this is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, and you can be trusted, and you can trust, rather, that this is episode 199.
It is.
The Comic-Con episode.
It is the Comic-Con episode.
Yes.
Mostly because we're going to be talking about stuff that came out of Comic-Con.
You could also call it One Less Than 200.
One Less Than 200. Nowhere near the planned 200 episode extravaganza.
Yes, which by the way, we think now we can almost confirm. This is a 95% confirmed that the 200th episode live event party will take place on Saturday, August the 28th.
In the evening.
Yes.
Location coming soon.
TBA. Location TBA.
I'm going to say location by the time this episode is posted online.
But then that won't... Oh, because you'll put it on the website.
Right. And then we'll talk about it in the next episode.
I see. Okay.
So but if you're looking at this and you're going over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com where you can check out the episode, links to the photo gallery,
right,
links to the message boards and all that other good stuff,
uh-huh,
hopefully within the episode post,
mm-hmm,
there will be the location.
And we will be taping some sort of audio thing there.
Correct.
Some sort of video Studio V type thing there.
That's what's believed.
Live. We will be filming a bunch of things. I think also we're going to talk to production Tim maybe about doing a couple of live Studio Vs while we're there with a live studio audience. So it could be your chance to be a part of these things.
Correct.
Which is fun and fun for all.
Okay.
Geek stuff. What's in the news?
All righty.
Let's roll.
So neither of us were there, but surely at this point we've seen just about everything that we need to really know and see from Comic-Con. Let's start with the Tron Legacy trailer.
Uh-huh.
It was epic.
Amazing.
It was. I was and am still slightly creeped out by young Jeff Bridges.
Yes, who is
his mouth? It's kind of moving weird.
And what I'm getting from that trailer, which, by the way, I was as impressed by this trailer as I was by the first trailer, maybe even more so, because we got a little more story this time, too. What I'm guessing here is that the young Jeff Bridges is a program created by the old Jeff Bridges.
Right.
Who has gone rogue. I believe that is the bad guy in this film.
Right.
That's the impression I'm getting.
Yes, because I think he fights. He makes reference to fighting himself at one point.
Something,
doesn't
he? Yeah, something.
So,
like
that. So yeah, I mean, the trailer's everywhere. There actually was an official release of it. You don't even have to find the dirty boot copy of it.
Right.
So
they had four events at Comic-Con.
Well, this was the year of
Tron.
This was the year of Tron.
Yeah.
So the biggest events at Comic-Con this year, I'm going to go on record as saying the Tron related stuff.
Right.
The protest in which the Comic-Con representatives outnumbered the West Baptist Church representatives. It's got to be what, 10-1.
Oh, it's got to be more than that.
At least.
Uh-huh.
And then the guy that got stabbed in the eye with the pen.
Yes, heard about that. I was also going to add that Angelina Jolie was there, which I thought was weird.
For promoting Salt, yeah.
Was it Salt she was promoting?
I believe it was Salt.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, because I think it opened like the next week or the same weekend.
Oh,
so,
yeah, maybe that's
so. I can only imagine. I don't know what else she would have been promoting.
Whole bevy of people there. I mean, we shouldn't just limit it to, you know, her.
Oh, no. I mean,
whole bevy.
Well, pretty much everybody that has a film coming out in the genre,
mm-hmm.
everybody that has a film coming out, or a lot of people that have a film coming out outside of the genre, and everybody that has been at one point in time related to the genre,
right.
I think, was there.
It can
was
I say? Can I
177,
say what the best?
177? Is that correct? 160,000? Is that what I heard?
I heard more. Yeah, I heard more like 177.
Yeah.
That's what I heard. I should say also, as we close out the bit about Tron, that the best event, I think, at San Diego this year was another one of those sort of hunts.
Yes.
Where people ended up at another recreation of Flynn's Arcade.
Correct.
With the entire staff.
Right.
Rather, the entire
cast, right,
milling about, including Bridges.
Oh yeah, man!
Including I Olivia Wilde, I think, was not there. I think she was at the panel.
I believe she was at the panel. I saw photos.
I think she was at the panel, but I don't think she was at this event. But everyone else in the cast, apparently, Bruce Boxleitner was there.
Yes,
the kid who's playing
Bridges' son.
Bridges' son was there. So there was a lot of cast, crew, and so on and so forth there, arcade games. Apparently it was just a ball, and I'm really, really upset that we missed that.
Well, you know. What can you do? Walking Dead.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is the second biggest trailer to come out of Comic-Con.
Yeah, that was
personally
pretty huge.
This you cannot find an official release of yet, I don't believe.
There's a doggedly bad release you can find.
There are multiple doggedly bad releases. There's one out there that's really not terrible.
I believe that one's on Slash Film. Maybe.
I think it's probably up on YouTube also.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what else to say. The show looks absolutely epic. I think it's gonna be amazing. Again, I think that AMC is tackling this is fantastic, and you know, it was huge and it looks great, and we can't wait to see it.
Yeah, make sure that your expanded cable
includes AMC.
Includes AMC, yes. Because you are not going to want to miss it.
No. So last year at Comic-Con, the Guild, of which we are fans of here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff, released their first music video.
Yes. It was
Do
called,
You Want to Date My Avatar?
Yes, featuring Felicia Day on vocals.
Right, and the entire cast, really, of the show.
Day.
This year, new video, Bollywood style.
Uh-huh, I saw that.
Game on.
Yeah.
It was great.
You know who looks really hot in the video?
Who?
Alicia Day.
I'm not surprised you said that.
Have you ever looked in her eyes?
Yes.
Like the first time I saw Slumdog Millionaire. It brought tears to my eyes.
Was I even...
Sorry. You know how I get. And she's a real geek, as opposed to other ones that we've been exposing lately on the show. Just saying.
I'm just saying that all the backlash we got for exposing her, go fuck yourselves, because there's equally number of people who agree with us. So anyway, Game On out there and available. It's a great. It's I think it was officially released this Tuesday in lieu of the new episode in season 4.
Uh-huh.
You can go to watchtheguild.com and see it there.
Yep.
All right. The Avengers.
Just getting shittier by the day.
Really?
Oh, I think
well,
so.
Well, yes and no.
Oh, I think so.
The official confirmation of Whedon as the director was good.
Yeah.
Although I don't think anybody didn't expect that.
Yeah, and the planet knew it like 5 months
exactly.
ago. Exactly. So it's...
Ugh. The official word of Jeremy Renner in the role of Hawkeye, I think, was good. I think that was rumored for a while, too, and that's officially confirmed as well. And then what I'm considering to be the bad news is Mark Ruffalo. I just don't see him. I don't see him as Banner. Anybody can be the Hulk. It's CGI.
Yeah.
I don't see him as Banner.
No, I even think, I have to say, I think even Joaquin Phoenix might have been a better choice for that part.
Mm.
No, I think so. I think Joaquin could play that crazy, angry, you know, like, I mean, no one's going to play it like Norton did. And it's too bad that, you know, Marvel's a bunch of douchebags in that regard that to let him go that way. The way that it went, especially the way it went in public and all that. What a shame for both sides. It just makes everybody look like crap.
Yeah, absolutely.
You made me check.
Yeah, I don't know.
And, I mean, with the disappointing news last week about the way Joe Johnson is doing this Captain America film, again, that's another knock. I'm sorry, I have to say it's another knock at Avengers because the Captain America that Joe Johnson is portraying does not feel to me like the Captain America who would be in the Avengers, especially leading the Avengers, or at least trying to go toe-to-toe with the Robert Downey Jr. Tony Stark for leadership of the Avengers or however it's going to work.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it's just getting worse and worse.
Something interesting, I think this came out of the Avengers panel. Kevin Feige was there,
mm-hmm.
naturally. And somebody had asked him about other character movies that were coming out. And apparently the Punisher film license is back under Marvel Studios.
Yes.
Now, I don't know who it was with. Was it with Fox or was it with Sony?
It Lionsgate?
Lionsgate?
I don't know. Whoever made the Warzone and the other one.
Whoever it was with, it is back under the Marvel banner.
Right.
And there's some indication that we may see another Punisher movie going forward.
Because the last two did really well.
Well, you know what, though? If they figure out a way, or maybe even if there's not a movie, but if they figure out a way to work him into the continuity of this Marvel universe that they're building, it could be interesting. I'd like to see it. I liked the first Punisher movie. I liked Tom Jane.
Meh.
And the second one, I didn't. Ray Stevenson was okay. But I liked the first one. I thought Tom Jane was really good in the first one.
Okay.
Sticking with Marvel movie-related news, Cap's shield and the Infinity Gauntlet. Both of these on display at at San Diego Comic-Con. Cap's shield from the movie.
From the movie.
And Infinity Gauntlet from Thor.
Uh-huh.
How is that a Thor? Now, question me, because I don't know, and I did a little bit of research, and I'm still not sure. How is that tied into Thor?
I don't know.
Because the Infinity Gauntlet that I know and remember was always a Thanos thing.
Yes.
And Thanos not tied into Thor directly. Mm. Really? He's just a...
Maybe they're trying to somehow bring the Infinity Gauntlet into the
movie
universe, and there's no better way to bring it in than Thor.
The picture looks awesome.
Uh-huh.
The picture of the gauntlet looks great. You could see all of the gems and jewels across the knuckles. I mean, the concept is certainly there. I just don't know how it ties into Thor. That's where I'm a little confused.
I guess we'll find out.
And then one last thing that I wanted to mention, and I'm sure that we're missing something.
There's tons.
I'm sure that there is a boatload of Comic-Con related news that we're missing.
Sure.
And we should say that we're kind of picking out some stuff we want to talk about.
Yeah, that's all.
But if there's something we didn't talk about that maybe you want to hear our opinion on or hear us talk mm-hmm. about, give us a call, leave us a voicemail, 425-920-6050. Let us know what we missed. Let us know what you want to hear, and we'll talk about it next week.
Yeah.
There's always another show.
And you could hear yourself on an upcoming episode
Absolutely.
Of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast.
That's right.
Which is what you're listening to now.
Correct.
Or Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the SiriusXM Experience.
Also correct.
Which is what we're calling the other one.
So Legendary Pictures, last thing that I wanted to bring up real quick. Legendary Pictures is doing another Godzilla movie for a U.S. release.
Now, does it have to do with...
It looks like Godzilla.
Like the real Godzilla or that terrible...
No, that's Godzilla what I mean. 2000? It looks like the real Godzilla, not okay. Matthew Broderick versus Godzilla. So, in that vein, I'm excited. I like Godzilla. I've always been a fan of the Godzilla camp movies and, uh-huh. and whatnot. So, we'll see. But just thought that was kind of interesting that we got another Godzilla movie on the horizon.
I wanted to talk a couple of interesting bits of comic book news, which we haven't got a lot of lately. Alex Ross and Kurt Busiek are re-teaming. It's their first collaboration since 1993's Marvel's book, which was an awesome book. They are doing a book called Kirby Genesis, where they're going to be taking all of Jack Kirby's characters that you've ever heard of and a bunch that you haven't. Now, these will be Jack Kirby's owned characters, so not the New Gods from DC and some of the other characters he's done. These are the ones that he specifically created, and they're going to be creating a sort of universe, a sort of basis storyline where they can launch other things off of, much in the way... Let's say, much in the way that DC has done with the web, the Shield. Remember those books?
Yeah,
they were like the Red Circle books. They're much doing that the same way, where they're going to start out with a big miniseries that Kurt Busiek and Alex Ross are going to co-write. And they're not saying what Alex will be doing on the inside. He'll be doing the covers, but apparently he'll be doing much more on the inside. He will be doing select interior artwork and the designs, but they're kind of being sort of mum about what exactly that means and how that's going to occur. There's also no slate for this. They're thinking maybe first quarter of 2010 or 2011, rather. If you know, here's the thing. Jack Kirby is a comic book genius, comic book legend, who is long since passed away. He created or helped create many of the characters that you know now. Is a very distinctive art style. You either like Kirby or you don't. I'm kind of on the fence. I kind of feel like sometimes I like him and sometimes I don't.
I kind of feel like I appreciate Kirby.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. And so these characters, many of which have been seen over the years, some of which have not been seen ever, their creations that they have found or have never been used or never published. They're all going to be finding their way into this Kirby Genesis book. And, of course, it's going to be coming from Dynamite, which means that there'll be at least 85 different covers. And once they spin this out into a series of individual books, however that's going to work, of course there'll be a bazillion of those as well. Dynamite, of course, responsible for the Green Hornet, would you call it, avalanche of books that we're currently under. So that's very interesting news. Other interesting news, Death, the character of Death from DC's Vertigo books, a character created by Neil Gaiman,
right,
is going to be having an appearance in Action Comics. Action Comics 894, yes, the Superman book. Death will be going sort of one-on-one with Lex Luthor in some way. Now, before I see you're making smacking lip sounds because you don't like this idea. Now, that said, this is not a repudiation, which isn't the right word, but it sounds like that it could be the right word if you didn't know what it meant. This is not the opening of the door for Vertigo characters to start entering the DC universe. No, no. This is a one-shot, one-time deal only, and they were trying to figure a funky way to do stuff with this current Lex Luthor, he's dying storyline, whatever it is, and they came up with this idea of bringing Death, the sister of Neil Gaiman's Sandman, into Action Comics. So, yeah. What do you think?
It's a gimmick.
Yes. Paul Cornell, who is writing the story, says that he felt very nervous about doing this until he spoke to Neil Gaiman. And Neil Gaiman said that he had his blessing to use the character in this one issue. And Neil will be apparently looking over the shoulder and reading the script and be very involved with this one issue just to make sure that the integrity of the character is kept and that this isn't the start of a flood of Vertigo regular DCU crossovers, which I agree with. Yes, it's a gimmick.
With Neil's blessing, it's certainly easier to swallow.
Right.
And I will reserve final judgment until I see the issue, but I'd be lying if I didn't say I was concerned.
And you should be. And let me allay your concerns by switching the topics entirely. David Finch,
yes,
who I have to say is probably one of the best artists out there right now. Mm-hmm. I'll say it because it's true. Second only to Jim Lee, would I like to see, I've said in the past that I would like to see him doing an ongoing book of Batman, you know, and I wondered why he had never been put on Batman or Detective in a lesser sense. Well, somebody's listening because David Finch, not only going on Batman, but he's getting his own book. It's Batman The Dark Knight. He's going to be writing it and drawing it, and the example art already is amazing. If you've not seen, I mean, look at the cover of Wizard this month. That's a Batman David Finch cover on there, and it is fabulous. Absolutely fabulous. I cannot wait. This book, Batman the Dark Knight, is going to explore more the demonology, dark arts, mystery kind of thing. You know what I mean? It's going to be more than just him going after criminals. This is going to bring him more into a more supernatural realm. Now, not limited to the supernatural realm, but it's certainly going to take more of a supernatural sense of things, I have to say. And I'm very excited about it because I think Finch is awesome.
Well, it's always nice to see a fresh new artist with mad talent take over a book. So
yes,
we approve.
We do. And with that, let's take our first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 199, the Comic-Con episode.
Hey, Kev, have you checked out the Home of Happiness over in Montclair, New Jersey?
Who's the Home of Happiness again?
You know, that group. They do that show. There's dancing.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show?
That's the one.
I hear that they are in Montclair the first and third Saturdays of the month and in Bergenfield, New Jersey on the second and fourth Saturdays of the month.
Ooh, lolly.
Yes. All shows are Saturday night at midnight. Uncut movie with a live floor show cast.
Love the live floor show.
Costumes and participation are encouraged. Admission is $7 and prop bags are $2.
Fancy.
You get the toast in there, I think, and some rice, maybe.
Rice.
You can check them out over at njrocky.com.
Wowzer.
And you can find out where these shows in Montclair and Bergenfield are and how you can be involved. And you have a great time at the Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's a lot of fun.
The Rocky Horror Picture Show. The king of cult films live in a movie theater near you.
Brought to you by the Home of Happiness.
Come with me if you want to live.
Hey, this is Linda Hamilton from The Terminator, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hasta la vista, baby.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 199, Comic-Con.
The Comic-Con episode.
Yeah, same thing.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
DVDs.
There are three that I want to mention this week.
Okay.
Two, one you want to pick up, one maybe you want to pick up. Maybe one you want to add to your Netflix queue.
Okay, what do you got?
Clash of the Titans for Netflix?
Yes, Clash of the Titans, the remake of the 1980, I think it's 80, actually, that movie.
Really? I thought it was before that.
No, it's 80 or
81. I thought it was like in the 70s.
No, sir. It's like, I think it is 1980, but I would have to check. Anyway, it's the remake with the awful Sam Worthington. Lots of big giant special effects. I saw the movie and I thought it was not very good.
Okay.
So 1980?
81.
Yeah, good. See? Oh, I thought so.
For the maybe list, Repo Men.
Yes, Repo Men would be the Forrest Whitaker and Jude Law. Some sort of sci-fi thing about organ donation or something, if I remember correctly.
Right.
Didn't do very well when it came out, but I heard good things about it, so you might want to check
that one out.
I
heard very good things about it, and it's, you know.
Well, if it's on the instant download queue of Netflix.
I doubt that it's going to be on there that quickly, but I'm with you. And then the one you want to buy, because why wouldn't you want to buy it?
Right.
I hear that it's awesome. The trailer looks awesome. I hear that it is the most violent.
That's what I heard as
thus
well.
Thus far. That it is rough.
Yeah. It's
maybe
the,
it's not suitable for young children.
It's the Warner Brothers Batman Under the Red Hood feature, animated feature.
Right.
Now, we know that the Warner animated features featuring DC characters have been getting much, much better. Much more violent. Not that violence is better, but much more kind of open to the idea that these stories are being appreciated by adults also. So, you know, therefore they're kind of relaxing their we can only do certain things position. So, which is great. And this one is a great story. Batman and the Red Hood. Terrific, terrific stuff. Got some features on there. You can get it in the Blu-ray, of course. And, yeah, absolutely terrific. You should definitely check
Joker heavy, right? So you should be happy.
I did hear that, but I haven't picked it up yet.
And I hear that it's Joker heavy.
Uh-huh, could
so
be.
So there are your DVDs for this week.
Geek stuff. Comic news.
Smell that? That's the smell of new comic books.
Comics.
Ooh, there are actually two that I have for tonight.
Wow, really?
Very excited.
Okay, go ahead.
The new issue of American Vampire, issue number 5, I believe, is out this week.
Uh-huh, I had that one.
Awesome sauce. Very excited. It's a great, great, great book. Snyder has been doing an awesome job writing the book. What's the dude, Albuquerque?
Albuquerque, yeah, it's Raphael Albuquerque.
His artwork is phenomenal and brings life to these characters.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic book.
Stephen King also helping out on this one.
Yeah, each story is kind of broken into two parts. Stephen King normally writes one of the parts.
Right.
And then the other book that I wanted to bring out this week was Green Arrow number 2.
Oh, no,
also
I didn't have that
week.
One.
So there you go. Those are my two contributions to this week's episode.
Nice. I'm going to contribute to the comic portion today. Brett Matthews and Ariel Padilla's The Green Hornet Strikes, number 2. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I think this is the futuristic goal, more or so, story of the Green Hornet in the Dynamite Green Hornet universe. So, yes. I think that's what this is. John Cassaday cover wraps it up nicely. Terrific stuff. All this Green Hornet stuff is the worst of it, whatever it is. I'm not going to say what's bad or good, but I think the worst of it, in my opinion, is still better than a lot of shit being produced by Marvel. You know, just saying.
I hear you.
Kevin Smith's Kato. Now, this would be the female Kato. Issue number 3. Is out, and you should check it out. It, too, is a quite good book. Kevin Smith not writing this one. This was written by Andy Parks, a friend of this program. art by Diego Bernard. So it's good art. Story is very good. You know when you see an ugly baby?
Yeah.
And you be like, that is a cute outfit.
Yeah, exactly.
See what I'm saying? From Moonstone, it's the Phantom, the Ghost Who Walks, issue 11. Now, I was under the impression that the Phantom was going away, but this one says at the end to be concluded. So
never.
Moonstone must have a couple of issues left that they're allowed to release, of this character. But I really thought that we had seen the last one from Moonstone because this property and a couple others reverting over to Dynamite.
Right.
But then Moonstone, of course, is going to come back with a whole crap load of pulpy books, which are going to be great, you know, albeit, you know, difficult to maybe get into for a lot of people. But I don't think that should stop you. You have to try anyway, says I. Batman from DC, Batman Detective Comics 867. David Hine and Scott McDaniel writing and arting. Terrific book lately. This one is Joker friendly, Joker friendly.
So you're a happy camper.
Yes.
Aw.
Well, it's happy or not, sir.
I'm teasing you.
It is a good book, I feel.
I know. I'm not knocking it.
I'm trying to see if we could say who did the cover, which I thought was very good. Peter Nguyen did the cover of this book. I actually think that's really nice artwork on the cover. It's
from what I can see from where that I'm sitting,
it
looks like
really
a
nice,
lovely cover.
Batman 867, check it out. Of course, we will keep promoting this book until the day we die. It is Cowboy Ninja Viking issue 7.
Is it still the big size?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my perspective is off. I think it's because my toe is busted.
Written by A.J. Lieberman. Art and colors by Riley Rossimo. Now, if the writing and the story isn't good enough for you, the Riley Rossimo artwork and coloring of the book
right.
is extraordinary. It is absolutely extraordinary. Who is this cat, Riley Rossimo, and why on earth is he not on our program? Because this guy's amazing. I mean, this guy should be doing way more stuff than just this book. Absolutely incredible. Cowboy Ninja Viking issue 7.
Geek stuff. Product reviews.
Product.
Yay.
I got 2 to talk about. How
All
many
right.
you got?
This week, none.
0.
I forgot mine.
Terrific. So pretty much you're just not.
I'll have multiple items maybe next week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I think so.
Multiple items.
I'm multiple.
I might have some Comic-Con stuff next week.
Look at you.
Some exclusive, possibly.
Possibly.
I don't know what's going on.
It's the mail. It's shaking.
Yeah, I'm from...
I feel you. It's look.
I gotta
it's
take...
It's only 3 days.
I know. I
got time.
I feel like I have to maybe by tomorrow, I might have to take stage 1 on eBay.
No. You know
I think so, because...
Even if it was shipped the day after Comic-Con Monday, it would take at least 3 or 4 days.
It's supposed to be shipped at Comic-Con, according to the thing
I got. That could be Sunday.
All right, let's say it was Sunday.
All right, I'm just saying. Why don't we move on to what you have over there?
I got the Star Wars, the official Starships and Vehicles collection, number 45.
Right.
And that, of course, is the clone turbo tank. The first wheeled vehicle ever released in the 3 3/4 format for Star Wars.
Yippee skippy.
Yes. Not the first one with wheels, but right. the first wheeled one.
I hear you. Right.
This is that big giant Rolagon looking tank thing used by the clone armies, of course. 10 wheeled Titan of the Battlefield, it's referred to.
Oh, wow.
Comes with the little magazine, as all of them have, with all the information about this and other related things inside. Little tiny magazine. And then, of course, you get the vehicle in a little display case of its own. It's got a little backdrop in it. Really terrific stuff. Going to run you. I think these run $15, $16, $18. And I cannot, for the life of me, is it D'Agostino? Is that the name of the company putting these out? I think that it is.
I believe that to be correct as well.
D'Agostini. Yes, sir. D'Agostini. Thank you very much. In coordination, I'm sure, with Lucas people. There it is. These are terrific. These continue to come out. Official Starships and Vehicles. They also have the official figures also, but I think that one is slower to come out than these ones, because I think the figures one is new. And the vehicles one came out in Europe and are now are hitting the U.S. secondarily. I think
that's
how that works. And from DC Direct, one of my favorite companies, I must say.
But
what? Well, yeah.
are your favorite companies?
Slightly a but.
What are your favorite lines?
The latest in the Batman black and white statue line designed by Steve Rude, who has already done a Batman, I think. But this is not a Batman in black and white. This is Catwoman in black and white.
I see.
Yes. And it is the old, now I may be wrong, but I think this is the Silver Age costume with the long black hair and the sort of cut line skirt, lots of legs showing, sweeping sort of cape action there. You know what I mean?
I feel you.
And yes, sculpted by Karen Palenko. That's a new name. I'm not familiar with her.
I'm not familiar with her.
You think she did other ones? I don't know. I don't recall her doing other ones. Anyway, the point of it is this is limited edition of 4,000. Our criticism, of course, is that this is not Batman. And the line is the Batman black and white statue line. And while we appreciate the villains, we appreciate getting the chance to have the villains, of course. We're not going to complain about the villains.
Okay.
We're going to say that what makes this line great, or made it great, no, still makes it great, is the art, the individual artist's interpretation of the character Batman, rendered in black and white, rendered by these individual sculpting artists as well, is a very high concept thing, I think. And I think the villains are just kind of a distraction from what I think is the true genius of the line.
I don't know if it's the true genius of the line, but it distracts from the focus of the line.
Yes, okay, that's better. And they run you, what are they running, about $70-$80 these
days?
Yeah,
somewhere in about $69.99.
Thereabouts, something like that.
The park, yeah.
They have gone up a little bit in price. I still think they're worth it. The collection looks great when they're all together. Right here in Studio A, we have an entire collection on display. Not all of them on display, but we have a lot of them on display. We need a bigger display in order to get them.
Right.
Tell you what the box tells us. Box artwork, by the way, features on one side the Steve Rude drawing, and then the other side the sculpture, and the usual Batman black and white packaging on the front. On the back, it says some of the ones that have come out, but more importantly, it gives us two peeks into the upcoming ones coming
up in the
lines. Yes, sir.
Nice.
From Batman Arkham Asylum. I don't get it.
What do you mean?
It's another Arkham Asylum Batman. Or is that another
one?
A first one.
It's the first one.
Yes.
This is the right. The other one hasn't come out yet.
I'm sorry. I was confusing it with the video one. The Gotham, the remember the one that was based on the...
Oh, no, yes, it's Gotham Knights.
Yeah, Gotham Knights.
No, this is Arkham Asylum. This is based on the game.
Right, so they're going to do a Batman black and white based on the Batman in Arkham Asylum, the video game, sculpted by Dave Cortez. Dave is a good sculptor, so that should be very nice. And I actually like the design
of that Batman.
I just question, again, its place in this line with so many artists who could be interpreting the character.
Who have done the book. The line has become like, it's like Batman black and white based on artists plus other renderings.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Plus.
Like, because, I was okay with the Batman Gotham Knights piece. I was all right with it. I mean, I wasn't a huge fan of the design. It was okay, but this one, I'm a huge fan of the design. So,
right.
I might have to have that one.
Well, hold on to your butt, sir, because sculpted by Jason Spider Adams.
Ooh, I like him.
Will be another character based on the art of Neil Adams. Care to take a guess?
No.
I'll give you a clue. It's not Batman.
Batwoman?
No.
Batgirl?
That's two. You get one more. Not Batman.
Man-Bat?
Man-Bat. Very good, sir. Got it on three. So the next villain we can look forward to in the Batman black and white line will be Man-Bat, based on the art of Neil Adams, sculpted by Jason Spider Adams. So Jason, a great sculptor. Neil Adams, of course, a legend.
Right.
And again, it's kind of, you gotta have, I think at this point you have to have a villain shelf.
I have to say, I think I'd rather have a Neil Adams Batman than a Neil Adams Man
I think
Bat.
There has been one already.
Oh, has there been one? Look, it's.
I think so.
The line is now, what, 40 statues
it's
deep?
I can't remember every
single piece that's in
true.
There. But if there hasn't been a Neil Adams Batman, then I should say I would rather have a Neil Adams Batman. If there has been, then Man Bat is.
Well, in any event, there it is. Batman, black and white, Catwoman, designed by Steve Rude, sculpted by Karen Polanco. Go to dccomics.com/DC Direct. You can see this and other fine DC Direct products. Is there an artist out there who hasn't done a Batman that you would like to see do a Batman black and white? I meant to ask you that.
Yeah, I don't know. I gotta think of an artist that I... J. Scott Campbell. I don't know if he's, but I'm a fan of
Campbell.
I think
there was a J. Scott Campbell.
A statue?
Oh, was there? No.
No. I would know. I'm pretty positive I would know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. Anybody else? Any other artists?
But Has there been an Adam Hughes? I like Adam Hughes' style. I know he does pinup, but I would go for like an Adam Hughes.
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry to interrupt you, OG. Of course, that is the D&D intro music playing there. So it must be time for our D&D update of the week. To check out the product we're going to be talking about tonight or check out other fine D&D products, go to dndinsider.com. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And tonight's product, sir, is a tiny little bit of a thing.
Okay.
Player's Handbook Races Dragonborn role-playing game supplement by James Wyatt. Now, so what is this? This is a 32-page soft cover. One would almost say booklet, if you remember your school days.
Sure.
Yeah, it's that kind of, you know.
You know what that reminds me of?
Yes, sir.
AD&D.
Yes.
Okay, first gen AD&D.
Uh-huh.
The class books.
Right.
You remember? Like the Thieves book.
Yes,
for example,
exactly.
The Mage's book. For, right. Or whatever.
Slightly thinner than that. Now, this is much like the Tieflings book that we talked about several weeks ago, where this book focuses more on the Dragonborn as a race. So for somebody playing a Dragonborn or someone more interested in learning about what they're trying to do with the Dragonborn, this is the book for you because this gives you even more information. Now, you get a lot of information in Player's Handbook.
Sure.
You certainly can generate a character out of the Player's Handbook and you'd be fine, right? But for those who like to go much deeper into it, like OG and I would go much deeper into our character creation and so on and so forth, this gives you lots more options, lots more, what do you call it, things? That's dumb.
Two pages, single space typed character bio before you start the game.
That's true. Is that what I used to ask for?
That was the standard. Well, I think, let's put it this way.
Two page or one page?
I believe when we started, I believe it may have been two pages handwritten.
Oh, that might be. Yeah, until somebody started handwriting them and I couldn't read them.
I think we may have progressed to two pages typed at some point.
That's true. So once again, all sorts of new powers, new clans, new different type of Dragonborn, which they did not specify very much in the old book. All sorts of new Dragonborn feats, epic tier feats, Dragonborn specific items, Dragonborn specific quests. It's got everything in here for you to expand your Dragonborn character or the Dragonborn character of your players. If you're a DM, this one's only going to run you, ready? $9.95,
nice.
Sir. $10 for a fully illustrated with color illustrations, 32 pages full of information, charts, diagrams, descriptions, all sorts of things about the Dragonborn. These are kind of half people, half dragon. In case I didn't say that earlier.
In case that wasn't clarified.
Racial feats, powers, paths, destinies, all sorts of things for your character right in here. It's the Dragonborn Player's Handbook Races role-playing game supplement by James Wyatt for the 4th edition Dungeons & Dragons, which we're taking a weekly focus on in our weekly D&D update. To learn more about this or other fine D&D products, go to D&D Insider. That's letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that is our D&D update for the week.
It's D&D. Warriors that terrify. It's D&D.
We actually have one more thing for D&D.
Oh, we do?
It's not really an update, so it can come after the music. Two weeks ago, we had the contest.
Yeah.
Win a figure, win or die.
Yeah.
Well, we have three winners.
Nice.
I thought we should point them out.
Go ahead.
So thanks to Country Boy, Crackit, I think it's Crackit or Cricket, but I think it's Crackit, and Little George, a.k.a. our pal George.
Yes.
Over at October Toys. Those are our three winners. So if you would, send me an email, geekstuffog@gmail.com, with your shipping information. And your prizes will be put in the mail shortly.
Yes, and actually, we're going to throw in a bonus prize for each one of those guys for participating in our contest.
Oh, nice.
Sir, I have to ask you a question
before
we take our final break. I would like to know from the listeners what they think a baby vampire might be like.
Okay.
That's it. So what you're going to do is you're going to go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You're going to go over to the forums for episode
199,
the Comic-Con episode.
Right.
And you're going to go to the forums.
Right.
And you're going to write there what you think a baby vampire might be like. Now,
what do you mean might be like?
Exactly.
Might look like?
It's as broad as you think.
Okay.
What might it look like? How might it act? And so on and so forth. We're going to give away three humongous prizes.
All right.
For this contest. Three. You can also enter by sending artwork or other information, descriptive information, photographs, if you're that creative, whatever you want to do. Baby vampire, I'm going to know what we're thinking about baby vampires.
Okay.
And we're going to send you a huge prize. We're going to leave this one open for 2 weeks, sir.
All right.
2 weeks. So in episode 201, we will be announcing the three winners. They're going to get a big prize for it. Again, you can do that over at the forums at BigKevsGeekStuff.com or by writing GeekStuffOG@gmail.com.
I would prefer they put it on the forums.
Yeah, I would too. Write to GeekStuffOG@gmail.com and tell him why you'd rather write to him, GeekStuffOG@gmail.com, rather than putting it up on the forums.
Creates community and friendships.
Does it?
Yeah. Hold hands. Dance.
Good.
Frolic.
Why don't we going to dance and frolic our way into our last break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff episode 199, the Comic-Con episode.
Hey, this is OG. Big Kev's Geek Stuff reaches tons of listeners each month across multiple platforms, and now so can you. If you're trying to reach the geek community, Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers some great advertising opportunities for your products or services at great rates. You won't find a better way to reach your target market than through advertising with Big Kev's Geek Stuff. So head over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising link and start reaching potential new buyers immediately.
Wow, with all the flair and delivery of a corpse.
Starfighter, you have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you are listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
Geek Stuff is wrapping up.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 199. Oh, let me revise that. Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast, episode 199. The Comic-Con episode.
Yeah, I realized as we were leaving the last segment that I didn't say the podcast.
I don't remember the podcast.
No.
I know. It's so
the
hard.
The podcast. You got to write it down somewhere so I can see it. In the back of your laptop. The podcast.
Right here.
Yes. You know, OG, I think we may have been a little mislabeled on calling this one the Comic-Con episode.
Yeah. Well, we were lazy in naming it.
Really. And we will have more Comic-Con information next week. As we said earlier, we could have more. We could have Comic-Con exclusive product next week as well. So we'll see if that works out. OG, but until then, OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the podcast?
The Tron Legacy trailer. The Walking Dead trailer. The Guild music video, Game On. The new finalized cast of the Avengers. A dude got stabbed in the eye at Comic-Con with a pen. He was wearing a Harry Potter shirt. They took him out in handcuffs. Very sad.
Wait, the guy who did the stabbing or the stabbee?
No. The stabbee went to the hospital.
Oh.
The guy that did the stabbing was wearing a Harry Potter shirt and taken out in handcuffs.
Why did he stab the dude?
I think they were up by Hall H. Uh-huh. Maybe they were in line for a panel, perhaps. Something along those lines.
Oh, boy.
You know how those panel lines get.
I hear you.
Very, very violent.
Check out, when it comes out in 2011, Kirby Genesis by Alex Ross and Kurt Busiek. Also, Death going to make an appearance in Action Comics 894. The Death from Vertigo, I should say. And David Finch getting his own book, Batman The Dark Knight. All three are really exciting pieces of comic book news, which we haven't had a lot of lately.
In our DVD news this week, there's really only three DVDs we thought you should mention. Probably one you shouldn't even bother picking up. That would be Clash of the Titans. Also, Repo Men out this week. And Batman Under the Red Hood. That gets the two thumbs up
from
both myself and Big Kev. That's the one you definitely want to grab.
Comics this week. Cowboy Ninja Viking, number 7. Batman Detective Comics, 867. The Phantom, The Ghost Who Walks from Moonstone, number 11. Kevin Smith's Kato, number 3. Green Hornet Strikes, number 2. And you had a couple also.
American Vampire, number 5.
Yes.
And Green Arrow, number dose.
Uh-huh. In product tonight, we talked about the latest Star Wars, the official Starships and Vehicles collection, number 45. The Turbo Tank, the Clone Turbo Tank, I should say. Terrific vehicle, terrific little magazine. The vehicle comes in a little display case. Great stuff. DC Direct brings us a limited edition of 4,000 Batman black and white Catwoman statue designed by Steve Rude, sculpted by Karen Palenko. Check that one out. And finally, in D&D tonight, we discussed the Player's Handbook Races Dragonborn role-playing game supplement by James Wyatt. Everything you need to know about playing Dragonborn is in there. And go to dndinsider.com for more info. Letter D, letter N, letter D, insider.com. And that was everything we did.
That was all of it. So don't forget, you can check us out each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, where we have all of our episodes. Presumably in the future, some new live from Studio V coming down the pipeline. They are filmed. We're just waiting on the actual finished product on those. Also, you can do something. Oh, also, don't forget, we announced August 28th as the date of our 200th episode extravaganza. Location coming shortly.
Live spectacular is what I'm calling it.
There may or may not be punch and pie.
Oh, there's got to be punch and pie.
I don't know about pie.
Okay, we got to have...
But you can punch people at the door.
There will be food, folks.
There will be food.
And live entertainment, no. And we may do some live studio Vs. We will definitely be taping something there, audio and video wise. We will maybe have some special guests there. So check that out. Also, we have confirmed we will be appearing at New York Comic Con.
We will. And yes. We have big things in the works.
Yes, we'll have more. Right, we'll have more announcements as we go along for what we're going to have going on at New York Comic Con. So come check us out there. I think that's it.
I think that might be it.
We do not have any more Flash Gordon commentaries.
A dozen a week.
We don't have them.
We don't have them. I've taken down the link.
If we find a few, we'll put them up. But as of right now, we got none.
If we happen to find a few, maybe we'll work them into a contest in the future.
Oh,
if
that's
they
true.
Surface.
Uh-huh.
But
if we find them also, any of them, they'll be for sale at New York Comic Con.
The MP3, it does not exist any longer.
Right.
The disc is no longer available.
No longer available. It was a limited edition.
You missed your chance.
Right.
Cry about it later.
Not saying we might not find a few, we may, but as of right now, we got zero.
As of right now, let's wrap up this episode.
And I'll end it by saying, good night, Just Mike, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
We're off in outer space, protect. Mother Earth to save the human race. Our Star Blazers. Danger lurking everywhere, but we know we've got to dare. Evil men with evil schemes, they can't destroy all our dreams. We must be strong and brave. Our home we got to save. We must make the fighting cease, so Mother Earth will be at peace. Through all the fire and the smoke, we will never give up hope. If we can win, the Earth will survive. We'll keep peace alive with our Star Blazers.